This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
R-T-I. Next week, boys and girls, on the program, we will have a special one. This week it's going to be a normal postcard from Pop Brad with Lee. Say hello.
Hello.
Rachel, say hello.
Hello.
And me. Hello.
It's like a 1970s porn movie.
No, this, is, really this is like, how low can you go?
That's what, more like a porn movie than
Rachel's going to be moving to Melbourne next week, so she won't be with us. So we'll have two programmes next week. One you can get on demand, which is all about offshore radio, and another one which is all to do with news. Ish.
I tell you what, Rach, I'd be really upset now because the week you're not on, we have two programmes to celebrate.
I know. Like, what's all that about? I feel. I think that's mildly hurtful, to be honest.
I think really, as well. I'm really hurt for you as well, Rachel, honestly.
Why? Terribly upsetting to me.
Because you're just insensitive, Eric. You're just an insensitive human being.
Why? I don't understand. Because
you celebrate.
You're celebrating Rachel. Yeah, celebrating Rachel's absence with two shows. Not one, but two. It takes two programs to fill my shoes.
Exactly, one in each foot. Your feet, keep both feet in one shoe, Rachel. Always remember that. My mother told that to my first girlfriend.
But Rachel, there's something I have to share with you.
Oh.
On the offshore radio show, there must be, in an hour, about 1 minute of Eric.
Well, it's worth listening to then, ladies and gentlemen. At least it'll be interesting.
There's more of Paul Rustling.
He's nice.
And there'll be about...
I like his wine.
Oh, God. Don't hit him. Don't hit him, Paul. And there'll be about 50 minutes of vintage archive recordings. So you'll probably need your tissues as well, because you'll be crying.
Yeah, he's
What?
Hey?
You're not going to play that one with the boat crashing, are you? Again,
no, because that's not in England.
That was New Zealand.
That was New Zealand.
That's good. I can never listen to that again, just quietly, ever.
Why?
It was horrifying to listen to. I was weeping. I weep at the sight of an empty milk carton, mind you. So I'm a bit of a weeper.
Are you?
But I found that weepy.
That
really
was Radio Hauraki in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yes, where the man runs back to the microphone and goes, "Mum and Dad, I love you."
Stop it! Oh my God!
I tell you what, can I just say so? Because I know I'm really nasty to Eric sometimes, and it's only in jest.
Can I have that in writing?
Well, is it?
No,
is it?
Not really. No, you're right. You're right. It isn't. But I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the thing with Eric is, like, I've known him for a long time now, and I know he doesn't know, he doesn't understand the meaning of the word fear. And there again, you see, he doesn't actually understand the meaning of a lot of words.
Well, that's true. Can you keep him down to four letters this week?
What, is that what you're going to say to me in a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So anyway, you lucky people, you're going to have celebrities coming from all directions next week.
Celebrities out your ears.
Out your ears, they are. We better get on with some news, otherwise... where's it gone? Oh, that's the one. I've got too many mice. What's the plural for mouse?
Meese.
Meese.
But can you have meese for plural mouse computers? Computer mouse.
Yes. You can have what you want, actually, Eric. Because you say you don't understand words anyway.
Well, that's true.
It makes sense to you, Eric, you use it.
Thank you very much. We go over to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre actress, Marilyn Burns. Go on then, you lovies.
Go on.
These are not movies that I watch. I don't like these movies. I don't see the point in gratuitous horror. I've never seen the point of it. I don't like it. I think it's in poor taste. Get creative and do something with some thought behind it, please.
I must now defend Tobe Hooper, the maker of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which was a classic amongst the classics of horror, and the whole genre of horror was changed by Tobe Hooper in films like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you go back to the history of horror, you go right back into the Victorian times when ghost stories were something to do. And what Tobe Hooper and Marilyn did was actually blur the perfect line between true life horror and fantasy. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based on a true story and was then moved on into fantasy, and nobody knew. And that brought out all new genres of ways of presenting things that were unpalatable.
Right, shall I tell you how to cure the problem with a long version of the Chainsaw Massacre?
Throw it on the fire?
No, just put 4-stroke petrol in the engine.
Ah,
it will seize up in about a minute.
I'm going to kill you.
And gone. That's it. Job done. Michael Johns, this is really tragic, actually. One of the American Idol contestants has died at the age of 35.
This is far out, Russell Sprout, because this guy's Australian, but lives in America. Yeah, he lives in America, so he was eligible to enter that particular competition. He had a blood clot in his ankle. He said his ankle had, he'd been complaining about ankle pain, and 2 days later he was dead. Or 1 day later, actually. And he was found on his couch by friends too, which is really horrible. He had a wife, but they'd had no children, so he left no children behind, which is a bit of a blessing. Mm. He's still got a horribly sad wife, but 35 years old. If you've got a sore ankle, don't ignore it. DVT will kill you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It will. It's dangerous. People don't take it very seriously. My mum, Janet, who will be listening because it's her birthday.
Hello, Janet.
Hello, Janet.
She went to Spain for a holiday. Funny that. Ooh. And she did. And she got DVT and ended up in a hospital in Barcelona for 3 weeks.
No. Janet, top tip. If you are a person that suffers with that sort of thing, when you're in a plane, put the ball of your foot only on the floor and rock your legs up and down. Keep them moving. It helps.
She did.
What,
she
if you're flying to Australia? You'd have to do that for 24 hours.
Well,
she did. She was very good. She knows about all this stuff, and she knows about her clots. Mum's got MS
All right.
So she knew that about the DVT, and she's had terrible trouble with veins, etc. And she knows all the rules. She had a pressure stocking zone. She did all that stuff.
All right.
She, walked around the plane, but still got DVT. And it ruined her trip to Spain. Ruined.
I can imagine. Well, actually, I must confess, the last time I went on a long haul flight, which was between London and Dubai, I was such a good salesman that I sneaked up to the back of the rather large aeroplane, which I don't remember the number of. As did many other, about 10 passengers in rotation, so we could have a sneaky ciggy on the plane.
Gosh, horror.
What?
If you do that on planes in Australia, they handcuff you to the toilet.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know,
with your head in it.
Do you know, when the ban came in about smoking in planes in Europe, that was the same time...
Show how old you are, doesn't it?
Same time that I had to go to Latvia, to Riga. And when the tickets were booked by this government official chappy, he said, do you want to go on this plane, which I knew was in the EU, or do you want to fly on Lat Air? I said, whose rules is that under then? He said, well, it's not the EU. I said, so can I smoke on that plane? So he went, yeah. So I'll have that one then, please. My sole decision, I flew on Lat Air, which actually ended up as being Swiss Air.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was a charter.
Interesting.
Charter flight. But I can smoke on a plane.
Can I just say something?
Sorry,
about
you shouldn't do that, boys and girls. It's not good, not responsible, and not at all grown up.
Can I just tell you something about Valencia in Spain?
Well, you're going to anyway, so why should we try and stop you?
I couldn't agree with you more. because ladies and gentlemen and everybody else who's listening, what I'd like to say is that at the beginning of this show, every week, you must remember and agree with me that Eric tells you how hot it is in Poprad.
Yes.
And then Rachel tries to top him by telling you how hot it is like living on the face of the sun in Australia.
Right.
And then I'm left out in the cold, literally. But over here, I have to say, I am looking at a thermometer thing that you stick tells you what the weather's like. And you know what it is?
Thanks, you finished that sentence that way.
Oh, that's amazing, yes. Yes, the Luddite shows his true colours.
Do you want to know how hot it is here?
Not particularly.
Yes, please. Tell me how hot it is there.
Not particularly, because it's cold here.
Not
today.
In funny money. Tell me in real money how hot it is.
In real money, it's 73 degrees
that's
centigrade.
That's not real. It's
no,
not.
No, that's not real money. Tell me.
200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, right.
It is. Ray Bradbury couldn't have written the weather over here. Yeah, so eat your heart out, you Aussie squiddy and your pop raddy and pussy. It's really hot here. It's burned my eyebrows off.
It's not 72C. Don't be silly.
How do you know? Where are you? You're in freezing cold pop rad with all those icy mountains behind you.
And Darwin,
because all the crocodiles are trying to get her. And
oh, dear.
So,
I'll tell you what we'll do, Rach, because he can't, because it's obvious.
It's 29 degrees in Valencia. That's softly.
You're right.
Yeah, of course.
Eric, I've just done the same thing. I have looked it up on my phone, which I know how to use.
It's called fact-checking, my dear. You taught me how to do it.
It's not my problem that this is an English phone and it won't work in Spain.
It's you. You messed it up. But the bottom line is, 29.
That's all, isn't it? I'll tell you, I'm melting.
No. Come on, it's 29 now where I am and it's the middle of the night.
It's only 24 here.
I want to also do one last thing, then I'll shut up.
Promise?
Please.
Well, I'll shut up for a bit. Not for long. Only a minute. Or maybe 30 seconds, but I'll shut up. I promise I'll shut up after this. I just want to thank the wonderful Andrea for saving me from choking to death on a custard cream last night.
I'm glad you're speaking again.
Yeah, she did, because she ate the lot. Right. Didn't leave me one.
Right, she saved him.
You know what? I call that a community service. And
I do.
That, she should be given some sort of parade or something.
Community service. How can you eat all the custard creams when you're in Spain?
Because they're delicious.
Cost out here.
They're delicious.
It doesn't matter how expensive they are. They are delicious. They are vanillary and creamy.
Yes.
Ergo,
eat custard in them.
What? I'm moving on. I don't get any of this at all. Anyway, this is sad, really, but sweet. Sad but sweet. A couple who have been married for 62 years actually ended up dying four hours apart from each other in adjoining beds. And right up to the last few minutes of one of them dying, they were holding hands. And I think that is just so wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Really sweet.
That's love. That is really, really love. It was, and I don't know. I saw this on Facebook and some people were saying that's creepy and that's wrong and that's this. And I thought, why is it creepy and wrong for
it's
two
not.
People that have been together for such
it's
a long time?
Creepy and wrong.
Just trolley type people
who
are no longer on my Facebook page.
Right, well, anyway, we love Donna Maxine Simpson, who from California, and we think you're wonderful. And to be married together for 62 years is just astonishing. My congratulations to every one of you that have been a part of the family, because it must have given you the most amazing start in life.
Yeah, I agree. And it is one of 62 years.
Yeah.
They're either madly and passionately in love or just lazy.
Yes. Or got to the point where they forgot who each other was every day.
Yes. Perhaps they were living, in working away all the time.
Yeah, maybe one of them lived in Spain.
Could be. Bad news, I'm afraid. I suppose I was dreaming, to be quite honest. The ceasefire in the Middle East has failed again. According to Israeli army claims, 18 rockets have been fired from Gaza. I'm not being funny. I don't believe any of them anymore. I don't either.
It's the boys who cried bomb. When they announced this ceasefire, I went, okay, how long is this going to last? because somebody seems to be breaking something, and that's that you get, you know, this person did this, this person did that, or these guys did that. I thought, what? Yeah, so I exactly. thought, why have a ceasefire at all? Why?
Well, you always get disinformation when there's something to do with war. Very often it's a deliberate thing. You know, you've got to put it into perspective. The real tragedy of this is that this whole new war out there began when three teenagers, one with American citizenship, were shot to death, on the West Bank. And you're going to get a reaction to that. But it came. That incident brought that area to its knees again after 2 years of almost peace in that area. And it really is a tragedy that things have taken a turn like this.
It's horrendous. And the loss of life, and you think, isn't there a bigger picture here? Isn't there a bigger picture? But I suppose when you're living there amongst it, that's all you see, that's all you hear. There isn't a bigger picture, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind actually getting comments from you guys out there on the chat room about this, just to see what you think as well.
Yeah, really.
I find this really weird, because there's this wonderful picture on Google, and it has a mission statement. And the mission statement from Google is, Google's mission is to organise the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful.
A load of rubbish.
Now, hold on a minute. Underneath that, in blue, it's got products, company management, then a line. So that means the next text that's coming up has nothing to do with the top bit, in my opinion.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then it says, 10 things we know to be true. So, does that mean the bit above that is not true?
I'm just going to read that again now and see if you're right.
I don't know. Ooh, yeah, that's a good question.
You see what I'm getting at?
No, I don't actually. To be honest, I'm sorry.
I don't get it. I don't know. I'm with Lee.
Neither of us understand what you're talking about, Eric. Sorry. Right.
Yeah, let's go.
Shall I do this again?
We don't understand.
Yes. No, but not in the same format. Yeah, you've got to do it in a different form.
Yeah, right. Tell it like you're talking to 3-year-olds, but don't use a different tone of voice. Use different words, littler words.
Yeah. I can't use little words because Google's mission is to organise the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful.
Yeah.
Right. Then. Mm-hmm. Further down, so there's nothing in there about it being true, honest, and just.
Okay.
Which you will never get with Google anyway. But yeah, right.
So then underneath it says, 10 things we know to be true, which tells me that the statement above that, that the statement above is not part of the 10 things, therefore it's not true. Or have I missed something?
I think the line that you're looking at is just the edge of a picture that they're using as a banner to headline the things that they know to be true.
I think really.
I think we're overthinking this.
It depends what the 10 things are. See, there are 10 inalienable truths in this world that anybody who's honest understands and should live by. And if they list, because ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else, he didn't list what the 10 things were that Google are saying. But if they're using the great maxims of truth, which are all encompassing and are an umbrella over the truth of the world, then that would actually have some veracity. As it's presented now, it just is the sort of rubbish and opaque ridiculousness that Google presents to the world as the grand information center.
Oh.
I really think that Google need to show us instead of the 10 things they know to be true, I think they need to follow the 12 steps, because I think you're drunk, Google, go home.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, a billionaire is to sue Google over Triad search links. This is a billionaire tycoon in Hong Kong who's very fed up with Google, and he's actually claiming, effectively, that Google's the publisher. Now, there was an argument from Google that said, this case cannot go to court. But a high court judge has now dismissed Google's attempt to stop the lawsuit. Judge Marlene Ng said that there is a good arguable case that Google is the publisher of the words and therefore liable for the publication.
Spot on.
Now, if that goes through, that's going to open up floodgates, isn't it?
Well, it's going to...
It will set a very big precedent. It will.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, you've got to put this into the whole pantheon of what's going on. This is a time when courts, European courts, are telling Google to take down stories about criminals, people who've committed acts of atrocity or of any kind of crime in the past. But actually, to have those people named for the rest of perpetuity is actually part of the constitution of European law, particularly in England, where justice has to be seen to be done and will remain in the history books. There is nothing wrong with that. That's what we've got. But Google are now arguing over a piece that draws up a connection between an innocent man and the triads. This bloke is a businessman, and his business, through what Google are doing, is being allied to the triads. That is a clear libel if there is no connection, and Google is certainly not the kind of investigative journalist who could prove or disprove that.
He's Reno Lees. I agree, Uncle Lee. I think you're bang on there.
And I love you, and I'm glad you're moving closer to me.
So whilst
if this had been printed in a newspaper, that newspaper would have been sued.
Yes. Spot on.
Absolutely.
So what's the difference?
Google. The lawlessness of the cyber world.
Carrying on from there, we've got Google saying, no, you can't touch us. We're part of the union. You can't touch us. No, sorry. we've now got Wikipedia, who we don't like, on this programme because they were horrible to us. they were stupid. They now reckon that a picture of a monkey is not owned by the bloke that took it.
I can explain this.
I cannot. I have never seen a monkey trained properly to take super selfie pictures of himself without somebody else holding the camera and doing the job for him.
Right. They can peel grapes and they can do sign language, but I've never seen them use a phone. I've seen them use an iPad, but only play noughts and crosses with the iPad, but I've never seen them actually take a selfie. You're quite right.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the score, right?
Uh-oh.
No, this is true. In the past, and it's happened a lot in the past, people have made money out and gained the copyright... gained the copyright of artworks created by animals. We've had artworks created by monkeys. We've had artworks created by elephants. Mm. We've had artworks created by all sorts of animals. Mm-hmm. And the simple fact is that because the human being put the animal in the position where it would create this work of art, then they become the custodians of the copyright. And it's quite right, because animals don't have pockets. They can't put money in pockets. They can't do anything
with
it. They can't market it. This
it's like when your kiddies do something, when prodigious children paint pictures and they sell for millions of dollars or whatever, then where do you think the funds go?
That's right. But this bloke, this photographer, set up that photograph, and it was sheer luck that the animal took the picture of itself, the world's first selfie by an animal.
Okay, you can be judge and jury on this one then.
Okay, dear.
So over my shoulder is sitting a monkey.
I didn't know that she was in this week.
Yeah, me either.
So over my shoulder is sitting a monkey who pushes the button on the phone and videos me putting my PIN number into the bank machine to get my money out.
Yeah.
Okay.
The monkey then decides to put the video on the internet with my PIN number on it.
This is a really astonishingly smart monkey.
If he could do that, why didn't he just go down to the bank and use your PIN number and get your fiver
out? What's the difference?
Why didn't he just open an account for himself?
Did the monkey put the thing on the internet, is what I'm saying? No.
No, the monkey
didn't.
It
was capitalised on by the photographer. And that's right, that's what happens with works of art. If you photograph... You see, you might as well say that if you photograph the Victoria Falls or some grand, wonderful thing like that, and or Niagara Falls, and you photographed it and you capture a moment in the existence of those falls, the copyright remain with you. It belongs to Niagara Falls. What a load of rubbish, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
that's what rubbish.
Wikipedia are wrong, then.
That was
never an argument. We all agree that they're monkeys.
It's going to be one of those weeks, isn't it? Yeah. And then there's a little spat between Google and Wikipedia this week.
Yeah.
I'll let them kill each other, I say.
That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Because apparently Google has notified Wikipedia of 5 requests involving Wikipedia that he acted on. And that was affecting 50 links to the site.
Yeah.
So what I'm seeing is Wikipedia going, we'll blow you then, we'll do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right or wrong?
Well, to my way of thinking on this, what this shows, and it's the rarefied atmosphere that the cyber world is. Yeah, the cyber world is like a grand spaceship floating above us all and sending down these tentacles that interfere with our lives and show us all different ways that we live, most of them particularly useless and to do with pornography. Mm. And this point here is that actually, patently, from this that we're talking about now, neither Wikipedia or Google actually understand the laws of the world, whether they be created by man or are natural laws. They have no idea what is valid and what isn't, and they're creating.
They're completely rogue.
Yes, exactly. And yet, these are the people who are actually running our lives now. We can do nothing. We are in a technological age where generally the technology that we are using doesn't understand us. We don't understand it. It doesn't understand the laws. It doesn't understand anything. And it has taken over our lives. We are on the verge of destruction, ladies and gentlemen.
Really?
Yeah.
George Orwell.
There's an easy solution. If schools stop telling children to go Google it and do some proper research.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
I couldn't agree with you.
What? Any children that are listening, there are these marvellous things called books.
Yeah.
And there are great big books and they're called encyclopedias. And anything else with the word pedia on it is completely sketchy.
Right. Absolutely.
You used to be able to buy them at the door as well, children. Not the pedias. I mean, the encyclopedias.
And the last man would come around and see if you needed any knowledge.
I know, and I've been careful about him as well, though.
Buy volume A and learn about the art.
Would you like to buy a book?
Oh, stop it, you two. Stop it, for goodness sake. What are you at? Anyway, I've got all my timings are completely out the window this week. We're going to take a commercial break in a second, boys and girls, while I try and figure out where the dickens I am, because I have no idea. But that's not, you know, abnormally different to anything else that happens on this particular programme. This is Postcard from Pop Rap. We will be back in a couple of ticks after we play these, commercial break thingies, I suppose is what you call them.
From the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.